In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Amen. Jesus often used parables. The kingdom of heaven is like this. The kingdom of heaven is like that. Parables are a common device in cultures where people rely on memory instead of written record. The Jews of Jesus' time tended to be literate. But writing was far more of a core for them than it is today. Little stories, like parables, served to jog the memory. But sometimes a parable given in one culture causes trouble for those of another culture. Those who do not know leaven their own bread, or have never seen a mustard seed. Mustard seed is a very tiny seed, yet it grows to the size of a tree. For those who have never baked a loaf of bread, it's necessary to know that leaven was a bit of dough containing yeast taken from before the previous day's baking. It was mixed thoroughly with a new dough, causing the yeast from the old to permeate the new. That a tiny bit of yeast might persist throughout many years of baking, and might even reach out from one household to another. Obviously, this leaven was a symbolic to the Jews. Jesus, using this parable, of course, he knew what he did. He knew what he said. As we have just seen, leaven represented widespread influence and enduring effect, even immortality. It also represented life, for the yeast caused the dead flour to rise. And in a similar manner, might change grape juice into a bubbling wine. Among desert peoples, the fermentation process was the only way of preserving foods, turning more perishable items into things like wine, cheese, and yogurt. Yet, leaven and fermentation might also represent death. For they were, after all, a sort of corruption. And sometimes, the process went too far. Souring the yogurt and turning the wine to vinegar. An observant Jew, still nowadays, will go to great length to ensure that there are no leaven products in his home during the Passover. No symbols of death around during the Old Testament feast of deliverance. Indeed, unleavened bread, and only unleavened bread, was offered to God all year long by the priests of the temple in Jerusalem. What Jesus is telling us today is that seemingly insignificant things can have enormous impacts and importance. Often greatness is folly. humility and behavior are often much more important. These parables indicate the tremendous power of good example and of bad example. If we have faith, hope, and charity, if we keep the commandments, if we exercise positive virtue, if we forgive or ask for forgiveness, if we teach those who we have in charge to do so, then these things will be multiplied in those around us. Yet on the other hand, if we are filled with skepticism, fear, hate, resentment, impure spirit, if we do as we please without regard to God's will, if we never do good simply for good sake, then we will spread our bad example to our neighbors, leavening them with our leaven of malice and insincerity. That's true for all of us, but it might be true in a very special way for married people. Because the way, dear parents, the way you treat each other will have an enormous impact on the way your children will behave in the future. Dear parents, your children are watching you. So, it's a lot. Big responsibility. But never forget that on your wedding day, you receive the grace to fulfill all these duties. But be watchful how you treat each other. There are no victimless crimes. If we sin alone or with the consent of others, we still sin against the will of God. God is offended. God is defrauded of what is rightfully His: respect, worship, obedience, and so on. And those around us are poisoned by our actions. Our sins may seem little, yet they are like the mustard seed and the lemon. A little sin very likely will grow into bigger ones. A single act against God's will may well grow into a habit, serious and difficult to break. And we all know here that more we are getting old, more it will be difficult to break. Evil, even if done alone and under wraps, tends to seep out and permeate the world around us, our homes, our communities, our schools, our nations, ultimately the whole world. If this sounds a bit dark and gloomy, it should not. That's why I will not apologize. For just as small sins can have a powerful evil effect, so too can the good things which we do have a powerful effect for the good. Indeed, our good works are the stronger of the two, for at least indirectly, they have God for their author, He who is all powerful. Yet we do have this obligation to do good and to avoid sin. We have both an opportunity and an obligation to strengthen the kingdom of God on earth by offering good example to those in our circle of friends, families, and acquaintances. Let's start with those one. We should ask God that we may be as humble as a mustard seed and the measure of leaven. Let's live here today prepared to exercise that humility, ready to spread good example and ready to win souls for the kingdom of heaven. Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.